First Presidency Message, Those Who Love Jesus, by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Driving on the modern freeways during the sunshine of summer is often a pleasant experience. Frequently, one can view the grandeur of majestic mountains and the mesmerizing surf of the sea all in a single drive. However, when the traffic is heavy, the mountains and the seas are set aside, and concentration is focused on the car ahead. Such was the occasion when I read with keen interest the words of a bumper sticker readily visible on the highly polished chrome bumper of a car which was weaving in and out of the traffic stream. The words were these, "Honk if you love Jesus." No one honked. Perhaps each was disturbed by the thoughtless and rude actions of the offending driver. Then again, would honking be an appropriate manner in which to show one's love for the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of all mankind? Such was not the pattern provided by Jesus of Nazareth. The Savior's love. The importance of demonstrating daily a true and abiding love was convincingly taught by the Master when the inquiring lawyer stepped forward and boldly asked him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Matthew records that Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Mark concludes the account with the Savior's statement, "There is none other commandment greater than these." His answer could not be faulted. His very actions gave credence to his words. He demonstrated genuine love of God by living the perfect life, by honoring the sacred mission that was his. Never was he haughty, never was he puffed up with pride, never was he disloyal, ever was he humble, ever was he sincere, ever was he true. Though he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by that master of deceit, even the devil, though he was physically weakened from fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and was a-hungered, yet, when the evil one proffered Jesus the most alluring and tempting proposals, he gave to us a divine example of the true love of God by refusing to deviate from what he knew was right. Jesus, throughout his ministry, blessed the sick, restored sight to the blind, made the deaf to hear, and the maimed to walk. He taught forgiveness by forgiving. He taught compassion by being compassionate. He taught devotion by giving of himself. Jesus taught by example. As we survey the life of our Lord, each of us could echo the words of the well-known hymn, "I stand all amazed at the love Jesus offers me, confused at the grace that so fully he proffers me. I tremble to know that for me he was crucified, that for me, a sinner, he suffered, he bled, and died." Showing our love. To demonstrate our gratitude, is it required that we too lay down our lives as did he? Some have. In the beautiful city of Melbourne, Australia, there is situated, in an impressive setting, a historic war memorial. As one walks through the memorial's silent corridors, one sees tablets of marble that note the deeds of valor and acts of courage of those who made the supreme sacrifice. One can almost hear the roar of the cannon, the scream of the rocket, the cry of the wounded. One can feel the exhilaration of victory and, at the same time, sense the despair of defeat. In the center of the main hall, inscribed for all to see, is the message of the memorial. The skylight overhead permits easy reading. The words almost stand up and speak. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Today the challenge which we face and must meet is not that we should go forth on the battlefield of war and lay down our lives. Rather, it is that we, on the battlefield of life, so live and serve that our lives and actions reflect a true love of God, of His Son Jesus Christ, and of our fellow men. This is not accomplished by clever signs printed on bumper stickers affixed to automobiles. Jesus teaches us, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Years ago we danced to a popular song, the words of which were, "It is easy to say I love you, easy to say I'll be true, easy to say these simple things, but prove it by the things you do." From our lessons learned in primary, we remember the poem entitled, Which Loved Best? I love you, Mother, said little John. Then, forgetting his work, his cap went on, and he was off to the garden swing, and left her the water and wood to bring. I love you, Mother, said Rosie Nell. I love you better than tongue can tell. Then she teased and pouted full half the day, till her mother rejoiced when she went to play. I love you, Mother, said little Fan. Today I'll help you all I can. How glad I am that school doesn't keep. So she rocked the baby till it fell asleep. Then, stepping softly, she fetched the broom and swept the floor and tidied the room. Busy and happy all day was she, helpful and happy as child could be. I love you, Mother, again they said, three little children going to bed. How do you think that Mother guessed which of them really loved her best? Years pass, childhood vanishes, truth remains. The transition from primary poems to today's truths is not difficult. True love continues to be an outward expression of an inward conviction. Prayer of Dedication. Today, on a gentle rise in the historic city of Freiburg, Germany, there stands a beautiful, dedicated temple of God. The temple provides the ultimate, even the eternal, blessings of a loving Heavenly Father to His faithful saints. Years ago, on a Sunday morning, April 27, 1975, I stood on an outcropping of rock situated between the cities of Dresden and Meissen, high above the Elbe River. I responded to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and offered a prayer of dedication on that land and its people. That prayer noted the faith of the members. It emphasized the tender feelings of many hearts filled with an overwhelming desire to obtain temple blessings. A plea for peace was expressed. Divine help was requested. I voiced the words, Dear Father, let this be the beginning of a new day for the members of Thy church in this land. Suddenly, from far below in the valley, a bell in a church steeple began to chime, and the shrill crow of a rooster broke the morning silence, each heralding the commencement of a new day. Though my eyes were closed, I felt a warmth from the sun's rays reaching my face, my hands, my arms. How could this be? An incessant rain had been falling all morning. At the conclusion of the prayer, I gazed heavenward. I noted a ray of sunshine which penetrated an opening in the heavy clouds, a ray which engulfed the spot where our small group stood. From that moment, I knew divine help was at hand. Full cooperation of government officials was forthcoming. President Spencer W. Kimball and his counselors provided enthusiastic approval. A temple was planned, a site selected, groundbreaking services held, and construction commenced. At the time of dedication, the attention of the international press was focused on this temple in its unusual setting. Words like how and why were voiced frequently. This was particularly in evidence during the public open house, where 89,872 persons visited the temple. At times, the waiting period stretched to 3 hours, occasionally in the rain. None wavered. All were shown God's house. Examples of love. During the actual dedicatory services, when President Gordon B. Hinckley offered the dedicatory prayer, hymns of praise, testimonies of truth, tears of gratitude, and prayers of thanksgiving marked the historic event. To understand how, to comprehend why, it is necessary to know the faith, the devotion, the love of the members of the church there. Though fewer than 5,000 in number, the activity levels exceeded those found anywhere else in the world. During the many years I served on assignment in that area, I noted the absence of spacious chapels with multiple teaching stations and grounds featuring the greenery of lawns and the blossoms of flowers. The meeting house libraries, as well as the personal libraries of our members, consisted only of the standard works, of a hymn book, and one or two other volumes. Those books did not remain on bookcase shelves. Their teachings were engraved on the hearts of members. They were displayed in their daily lives. Service was a privilege. A branch president, 42 years of age, had served in his calling for 21 years, half his life. Never a complaint, just gratitude. In Leipzig, when the meeting house furnace failed one cold winter day, the meetings were not dismissed. Rather, the members met in the chill of the unheated building, sitting shoulder to shoulder, wearing their coats, singing the hymns of Zion, and worshiping him who counseled, "Be not weary in well-doing. Follow me, be thou humble, and the Lord thy God shall lead thee by the hand and give thee answer to thy prayers." The Apostle Paul taught the Corinthians, "If any man love God, the same is known of him." The love which these faithful members had for God, for his Son Jesus Christ, and for his everlasting gospel was confirmed by their very lives. It was reminiscent of the love demonstrated by the brother of Jared, as described in the Book of Mormon. The blessings of a loving, caring, and just Heavenly Father simply could not be withheld. Faith preceded the miracle. Eternal ordinances are now performed. Everlasting covenants are now made. The love of God has again blessed His people. For those who love Jesus, these prophetic words have sublime meaning. "Hear, O ye heavens, and give ear, O earth, and rejoice, ye inhabitants thereof, for the Lord is God, and beside Him there is no Savior. Great is His wisdom, and marvelous are His ways. His purposes fail not. For thus saith the Lord, I, the Lord, am merciful and gracious unto those who fear me, and delight to honor those who serve me in righteousness and in truth unto the end. Great shall be their reward, and eternal shall be their glory." Such is the blessing reserved for those who love Jesus. May each of us qualify for this great reward, this eternal glory. Gospel topics: charity, example, Jesus Christ, love, service. Ideas for home teachers. Some points of emphasis. You may wish to make these points in your home teaching discussions. 1. Jesus taught, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. 2. The Lord has said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." John chapter 14, verse 21. 3. Our love of the Lord needs to be as it was among the faithful saints who lived in the German Democratic Republic following World War II. 4. The Lord has said, "I, the Lord, am merciful and gracious unto those who fear me, and delight to honor those who serve me in righteousness and in truth unto the end." Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verse 5. Discussion helps. 1. Relate your feelings about the Lord's statement concerning how He knows who loves Him. 2. Are there some scriptures or quotations in this article that the family might read aloud and discuss? 3. Would this discussion be better after a pre-visit chat with the head of the house? Is there a message from the bishop or quorum leader? End of the article, First Presidency Message, Those Who Love Jesus, by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency.